from Quality Radio Productions. It's the Upstate Radio Theater, an hour of sounds from the golden age of radio. I'm Jake Longwell. We'll open today's program with an episode of Bold Venture. This series ran from 1951 to 1952, a syndicated series starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall. Bogart portrays Slate Shannon, a hotel owner and boat operator based out of Havana, Cuba. Lauren Bacall portrays Sailor Duval, Shannon's ward. Together, they travel the various islands of the Caribbean, often getting themselves into rather tight situations involving mystery, intrigue, and romance. This broadcast, program number 5 in the series, released for syndication on April 23rd, 1951. It's entitled Treasure on Flamingo Cay.
Bold Venture. Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance, starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall. Together in the sultry setting of tropical Havana and the mysterious islands of the Caribbean, Bold Venture. Once again, the magic names of Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall bring you Bold Venture and a tale of mystery and intrigue.
Now in Havana, there is a small hotel. From here to there, they come pell-mell. No elevators or curtains of lace. It's known all over as Shannon's Place. You like that, Mr. Slate?
Oh, sure do.
Do you have another verse, King?
Every time, Miss Sailor.
Look, we've got work to do. If you don't mind, I'd like to get on with it.
Right now, we mind. King's in a singing mood. Go ahead, King.
Mr. Shannon, he run this small hotel. He man who like Havana so well. He would rather starve in this city than have $1 million in Cincinnati.
Thanks, King. Now it's your turn, Whit. Go ahead.
Well, we've been sitting here for 3 hours now talking about it. All I'd like you to do is say yes or no.
What'll I say, sailor? Yes or no?
Well, I'd like it. It's a thing I've always wanted to do.
If you want my opinion, Mr. Slate.
Sure.
I've heard stories like this before. Spanish gold. Nothing ever happens. Down in the barrio, secret treasure maps get sold all day long. I know the man who draws them.
The man just made a point, Whit.
I beg your pardon, and yours, too. Because I'm not making myself clear. Look, I have nothing so tangible as a map. All I have is this knowledge that on the island in Flamingo Cay, there is Spanish gold.
And this you learned in college.
That's right. Now, you people don't have to smile about it. Mr. Cheney and I are serious. That's why I sent me to you. You don't have to smile.
I wasn't smiling.
Thank you, Mr. Val.
Let's see the charts again.
Sure, Mr. Shannon. Now, look. See? Your boat could make it easily right along the banks, eh? Here. Here's Flamingo Cay, about 30 small islands. Now, this one. Here's one. Due south of Exmouth Sound.
Here's a nickel slate.
Yeah. Heads we go, tails we don't. Tails. Tails we don't.
I said 2 out of 3.
Yeah, that's right, you did. Heads. One more. Heads.
Heads we go.
We'll start in the morning, Whit, about 6.
Oh, that's swell, swell. I'll see you then, huh? I don't think I'll be able to sleep. You won't be sorry.
Take it easy, boy. Whit.
Uh-huh.
Did he bite?
I learned a word for his type in college. Sucker. I want to tell you something, Joe, just between you and me.
All right.
I feel good. I feel good all over.
Well, I'm glad for you.
Yeah, that's a feeling I like. All that loot just waiting for me.
For both of us?
For both of us.
You're a greedy boy, Whit. That's what makes you so useful. But you'll remember something, Whit.
Anything you ask me, I'll remember. Anything you tell me, I'll remember.
That's good, because it's my party I call a dance. You won't forget now, college boy.
Joe, tell me more about yourself. Tell me again how a man like you comes on a dream like this.
Yeah, I had me a boat once. I tore the insides out of it on a coral reef in Flamingo Cay, and I got ashore. It is like you said, the stuff that glinted on the beach wasn't just sand.
You make me young again, Joe.
It just lay there teasing me, pirate's loot whispering to me in the sun. Then a shadow come over it, a guy and his wife.
Mr. and Mrs. Mark Bryan?
Yeah, college boy, Mark Bryan and his wife. He told me the island belonged to them. He told me don't touch. He told me fix your boat and go away. I went away.
But he won't do that to us again, will he?
Uh-uh, college boy.
And our sucker, Slade Shannon, and that pretty dream that hangs on to him. What do we do with them, Joe?
We use them. Then we lay a Spanish doubloon on their forehead so they shine in the sun. So the seagulls can find them.
Oh, thank you, Joe. I can sleep now.
I hope you're a good navigator, Shannon.
Now don't worry about it.
That college boy, Whit, he looks worried, and he's got an education.
The Bold Venture's gotten through barrier reefs before. Hey, look, Cheney, why don't you trail your feet in the water, light a cigarette, or spit into the wind, the things people are supposed to do on a boat?
Well, you're a good sailor, Shannon. Look at that island. That's pretty, huh? All that loot, and all you have to do is tie up at that pier. It's pretty small.
I'll make it.
5 feet here, Slade.
Shannon.
Yeah?
There's not a whole lot of room between the bottom of this boat and that coral.
5:15. Shoaling off, Slade. 4. Easy.
Ah, yeah, that does it. We'll tie up here.
Maybe.
Huh?
Look what we got, a committee standing on the beach.
He's got a gun, Cheney. What is this?
What it is Mark Bryan and Ms. Bryan looking as red-headed as usual.
Sailor! Sailor, come here!
What is it, Slade?
Make it fast. I'm going calling.
Hey, that looks like a shotgun the man's holding. He couldn't miss with it if he tried.
Just make it fast, sailor. Hello!
Get out of here!
Your name, Bryan? You're Mrs. Bryan. My name is Slade Shannon.
Hello, Slade Shannon.
Get back on your boat and get out of here.
I've counted 4 on your boat. We can put you up. We're lousy with bamboo shacks. I weave them in my spare time.
You've come for the gold. It's dug up and put away.
I didn't say anything about gold.
Who are you trying to fool? That man, him, standing on the pier? Don't you think I know him? Joe Cheney.
Why don't you just listen for a minute?
Listen? You listen. What do you think I...
Bryan.
Oh.
That crazy college punk.
Shot my husband. What do you know? Someone finally called Mark's bluff. Pick him up, Mr. Shannon. As I said, I've got accommodations for everybody.
Oh. Sorry, Mr. Bryan.
That's all right, my boy. I don't expect you to mend me without some hurt.
One more twist, a bandage, and you'll...
Oh.
You know, you're a good Slade. If I'm ever shot in the shoulder, if I'm ever hurt, remind me to call you.
Yeah, I'll do that. 2 weeks and you'll have your shoulder back, Mr. Bryan.
You want me to be grateful? Shall I kiss the hands that heal me?
I think we could bear it.
Don't misunderstand me, you two. It's only that for me, the difference between living and dying is very slight. I rather wish your friend had potted me into eternity.
I'll go get your wife, Mr. Bryan.
No. Leave her there with her newfound excitements. 2 new men. That can make Lucy very happy. See? This occasion is a rare delicacy for Lucy. Life with me on my island bores her. It's bored her for 12 years.
You could have taken her away. Anywhere in the world she wanted to go.
Then maybe she'd be with you when you're hit.
You mean the gold? The gold you and your friends are so hungry for? You're quite right. I could have used it for that. But I have no taste for it.
Then this wasn't a college boy's fairy tale. There is gold here, Mr. Bryan.
Enough to make all men kneel at your feet, Miss Duval.
I need gold for that slate.
You heard what the man said.
Then listen more to what I say. This is your fee for probing in my shoulder, for trespassing on a world I meant to keep for myself.
Wash up, Slate. Get your money and let's get out of here.
Not money, Mr. Val. A suggestion. I suggest you and Mr. Shannon take your friends and get off my island. I suggest you forget its existence. I suggest you will never find what you're looking for. Except that. Except the sound of death. Good night, you two. Sleep well.
You done good, college boy. You impressed Miss Bryan, I could tell.
Redheads and me, Joe, there's an affinity. I tell her the things I'd do for a girl like her if only I had money, so she whispers in my ear where her husband hid the loot. The other side of the island. Take it, she says. It's yours.
And now you go to work on Miss DeVal, that sailor girl, huh, Will?
Hide someplace where you can watch me, Joe. Be a revelation to you.
I couldn't live without it. You're on your own, college boy. Now, don't louse it.
She'll love every minute of it. Goodbye, Joe.
Oh, it's you. I thought
you have the look of a girl who's sorry she's alone, Mr. Val. As if you were waiting for someone to knock at your door. But not me.
Right again. Not you.
Mr. Shannon.
Slate said he wanted to look around the island. Maybe you'll go find him for me.
No.
We've had a nice chat. Good night.
You dislike me for shooting Mr. Bryan?
I'll find other reasons. Give me time.
Anything you ask, Mr. Val. I thought that if you're really tired of being alone, we could go for a walk. Tropic moon, the surf. Sometimes a girl wants things like that.
Go beat on another shack, college boy. I've got strong sales resistance.
Even with this gun in my hand? It could shoot your resistance full of holes, Mr. Val.
It could.
Why don't we walk, Mr. Val? You and I.
Sailor! Sailor, get decent and open the door. I thought maybe you'd like to walk.
Walk right in.
Huh?
Walk right in, Shannon. Don't ever argue with a 45. Walk. Good. Turn around, Shannon.
What did you do with Sailor?
Bite your lip, kid. Bite it hard. You stay unconscious too long, Shannon, you'll rot.
Come on. Come on, Slate. Oh, you'll have to do better than that.
What the...
Open your eyes.
Yeah, help me up. Thanks. Where's Sailor?
In the boat. I guess she's in the boat. Look out the window.
Huh? Yeah. Hey, the boat...
Gone? That's right. She's in the boat, only the boat's gone.
said it would be here. She said all we have to do is dig right here. That redhead crossed me off.
Keep your sweat for the digging, college boy. It'll be here. I said dig.
Maybe if he digs hard enough, it'll turn out to be his grave.
You're real funny, Mr. Val. You run a boat good, and you're real funny.
What did you do to Slate?
Did I forget to tell you? I hit him on the head with the butt end of this .45. It must have hurt him because he didn't talk back. That's what I'd done with Slate.
You dig for a while, Joe. I want to tell a lady about the splendors of where we are. Little known facts. She'll enjoy it.
Well, do that, college boy. Maybe it'll do something for me, too.
This lagoon you sailed us into, Mr. Val, it's really just a saltwater lake filling up a hole that used to be a volcano.
Imagine that.
And all of this, this cove with these sheer cliffs all around rising up into the sky like a cry for help. Stunning, isn't it?
It makes me weep, the sheer stunningness of it.
And that hurricane hovering over us like a black winged bird. But it won't touch us here. Because Mother Nature built this place so no storm could touch it.
Hammers for the million things.
And on the other side of the island, you're Mr. Shannon. The redhead, her husband, all at the mercy of a tropical hurricane and no place to hide. Will you cry for Mr. Shannon, sailor?
I found it, kid. It's here. Just like she said, it's all here, wrapped in an old sail.
Let me look at it, Joe. Get out of the way so I can look at it.
We're through here, kid.
Yeah. Yeah. Make the boat ready, Mr. Val. We're sailing away from this lovely place.
Wrong again, college boy.
What?
The black-winged hurricane, remember? The one you were telling me about? Boats die in it, even with me sailing them.
Joe,
she's right. We wait here till it blows away.
I don't mind, Joe. I don't mind a bit. I got the gold to keep me warm.
And the whole thing strikes you funny.
Well, consider it, Shannon. Look at it the way I do and join me in a big fat laugh.
Yeah, I know. It's about your husband. You're getting a reaction from his shoulder wound.
Him? Lying in our shack, drinking up all this tropical paradise? Him? No, nope. You want to know what makes me laugh? You can see it from here. The moon.
I can see it. A fire moon. A hurricane moon. Hey, look, Mrs. Bryan.
It's an intimate time. Say, Lucy, I'll answer you.
Where did they take Sailor?
Lucy.
Where did they take her, Lucy?
Now we're intimate and you worry about Sailor.
So help me.
You gonna hit me? Go ahead if you operate that way.
Chaney and Whit put her on the boat because she can navigate out of this reef. Tell me where they went.
The other side of the island. We could cuddle up, make a song out of that.
That's where the loot is, isn't it?
It's where I help Mark bury it.
Now I know what's funny. I'll laugh at you and you laugh at me. That's one way of spending a hurricane.
Maybe you're not impressed. That hurricane's really coming.
Listen to me, Lucy.
I didn't figure it, Shannon. Whenever someone whispers in my ear, I tingle all over. I told him where the treasure was and he ran out on me.
We gotta get out of here.
None of us is getting out of here.
How do we get to the other side of the island?
Why? What for?
You've got to listen to me, Lucy. The other side of the island. We've got to get there. You know a way, don't you?
It's far.
We'll get your husband. He can walk. We can't leave him here.
It's far.
Can't be too far. It's a small island, Lucy.
You miss the mood, huh, Shannon? Sure. Sure, I'll take you. All you gotta do is hold my hand.
You know something, Joe?
What?
I'm glad we're down here and not up there. People could die up there on top of the island in that hurricane, and we don't want to die, do we, Joe?
That's right, kid.
I sit here and I dream of what I can do with all this loot. Makes me shudder. Sends chills down my back. Care to share it with me, Mr. Val?
Maybe I would.
What?
Because I see you in a new light, college boy.
That would be the reflection of all this gold, wouldn't it?
That's part of it.
Tell me, what else would there be?
You, the way you are. The dark things you stir up in a girl once she gets to know you.
And When did this wonderful thing happen to me?
It began when you came into Shannon's place. It built when you shot Mr. Bryan. And the way you handled me when you made me bring you here in the boat. I liked it.
You surprised me.
How do you figure me, Joe?
I don't have to, and no, leave her alone, kid.
She's got a point, Joe. It interests me. Burn up dreams, you and me, huh, Sailor?
Burn them. Blow the ashes away. Start new ones. Whatever you say.
Uh-huh. Joe?
What's the matter with you, kid? You gone crazy? Put that gun away before I slap you across the mouth with it.
You won't be able to do that, Joe. I'll tell you why.
Oh, you filthy dog!
That's why, Joe. Brush your cheek against mine, Sailor. I'm in love.
You okay, Brian?
Yeah, you didn't have to take me. Two of you could make it faster.
You lean on me.
Leave him alone, Shannon.
What's the matter with you?
I said leave him alone.
Do you love him all of a sudden?
Shut up.
How much further?
We'll never make it. Never.
Down that crater. There's a passageway that leads to the other side. Then we can... That tree! Watch out!
Oh!
Mark! Mark! Help me with him! Help me!
No, it's no use.
Help me with you!
I can't! I can't budge the tree!
Mark! Mark!
Come on, Lucy. You can't help him. Lucy!
Get out of here! Get out!
You can't stay here.
I did wrong, Mark. I did wrong, and this happened. It's my fault, Mark.
He's dead.
No. No, it isn't my fault. It's your fault, Shannon. Coming here with that boat and those men. Get out. Get out, will you, and leave me with my husband.
The wind's dying. You'll be all right.
Can't you understand? I want to be with Mark. Tell him how sorry I am.
Wind's just about gone, Sailor. Let's go see all those pretty places we were going to see. Huh?
Maybe we ought to stay around for a while. Maybe the hurricane will start up all over again.
Ah, never does. Let's go.
I think we ought to wait.
Come on. Give me a hand with this stuff.
Whit.
Come on, I said. Look at it, baby. How much do you think there is there?
I wouldn't know.
It would be enough for what we want it for. That's a happy sound, huh? Wait a minute. Well, 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 what do you know? Look what the storm blew in.
Slate.
Slate Shannon, trying to be quiet as a mouse. You're clumsy, Mr. Shannon. Try it with your hands in the air.
You all right, Sailor?
Yeah, she's fine. I'm going to have to tell you something, Mr. Shannon. You're going to have to die. I'm going to have to kill you.
Let him be, Whit. Just let him be.
I asked you something, Sailor. I asked you if you're all right. You didn't tell me.
Slate, don't come near me. He'll kill you.
No, you're wrong. I won't kill him. You'll kill him. You're fond of me, remember? Here, take my gun. Go on, take it. That's right. Now shoot him.
You're not a very bright college boy, are you, Whit?
Well, I better cap him. Don't point the gun at me. Point it at him. Go ahead, shoot him.
Don't come any closer.
Sailor, let him have it.
I warned you, Whit.
You aren't really fond of me at all, Sailor. Stay where you are, Mr. Shannon. This other gun, Joe's gun, is loaded. All the bullets in the gun Sailor's holding are in Joe.
What do you do with us now? Kill us both?
Only you.
Slate.
You tried, Sailor.
Pick up that sailcloth with the coins in it. Pick it up, Shannon. That's right. Might as well lead a short and useful life. Now carry it over to the boat. Show him the way, Sailor. That's right. You get your feet wet, but it won't matter.
What are you going to do with all this money?
Convert it into coin of the realm, then live. Sailor helped me plan the whole thing.
Dry him off first, quick.
Why, you...
Watch it, Sailor.
I'll tell you...
Start holding your breath, Whit. What do you know? Short-winded.
Slate, you'll kill him.
Don't suggest anything, Sailor.
Let him up.
See? I let him up. He's breathing, too. Maybe they'll put a stop to that in Havana. Sailor.
It's pretty.
Piece of eight. We go on a treasure hunt and we come up with one crummy piece of eight.
Mrs. Bryan said you could take all you wanted.
Well, this is all I wanted.
Flip it.
What for?
Well, it's night. I want to go for a walk on the beach. You never want to take me.
All right. Heads I'll take you, tails I won't. Tails, I won't.
Two out of three, Slate.
Oh. Tails again. Sailor.
Uh-huh.
Three out of five. Isn't that the way we play it?
And so our two stars, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, have brought to a close our latest Bold Venture story. Special music was composed and conducted by David Rose. May we invite you to listen again next week at this time for another exciting adventure starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall together in Bold Venture.
Bold Venture. Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, our stars, in Treasure on Flamingo Cay, a syndicated broadcast from 1951. It's the Upstate Radio Theater. I'm Jake Longwell. If you want to get in touch with the program, the email address is qualityradioproductions@gmail.com. And if you want more info about the show, or if you'd like to listen to this or previous episodes of the Radio Theater at your convenience, then please visit our website, qualityradioproductions.blogspot.com. This is program number 1602. We'll wrap up the hour with an episode of 30 Minutes in Hollywood, a music, comedy, and variety show hosted by George Jessel. This is a mutual broadcast from October 17th, 1937. And a producer's note, this transcription was in very rough shape. I had to do a considerable amount of editing in all the places where the record skipped, but it's well worth a listen. With the special guests, the comedy duo of Weber and Fields. It's 30 Minutes in Hollywood.
Guffers and Sattler present 30 Minutes in Hollywood, starring George Jessel. Minutes in Hollywood, starring George Jessel and, by popular demand, a repeat guest appearance of Miss Norma Talmadge, who will be interviewed by Ernest Schrapps, well-known fashion creator for Hal Roach Pictures. The cast also includes Dorothy McNulty, Tommy Tucker and his orchestra, Amy Arnell, and an added guest surprise that will tickle your ribs and touch your heart, those beloved comedians for over 50 years, Weber and Fields. We're now in George Jessel's office in Hollywood, where Tommy Tucker and his band play the title song from the show, High, Wide, and Handsome.
boys, be quiet. Oh, fellas, will you please listen to me? Hey, will you bums stop that noise?
Listen, I'm Tommy Tucker. Who are you?
The same as I was last week. Mr. Gessel's secretary, Miss McDopey.
Oh, I thought you were going to quit.
Not until I get paid.
Well, that's how we feel.
Oh, stop, boys, and listen to my next line in the script. Here's a line I love to read. It's so fresh and new.
What is the line?
This is it. Here he comes now.
Thank you, thank you. What's going on here, Miss McDopey?
Oh, nothing. The boys are just tuning up.
I engaged them 3 months ago, and now they're first tuning up.
Mm-hmm. Say, Jethel, you look all tuckered out.
Tuckered out? How do you like that? Listen, Tucker, stop plugging yourself. You're not the sponsor. He's tuckered out. How do you like such a thing? I am tired, though, on the square. And boys and girls and you folks who are listening, you have no idea how hard it is to arrange a radio program. I never realized it before. When I was just guest starring around, I used to laugh at all my friends, the Burnses, the Bennies, and the Bennies, and the Burnses, and the Burnses, because they worked every night on their programs. I laughed when they sat down to work. But they laughed when I came to borrow money, really. That's just kidding. Anyway, a couple of weeks ago, I said to Al Jolson, I said, Al, why don't you come with me to the fight? He said, Georgie, I'd love it, but I can't. I got to go home and work on my program. I love to take my little Ruby out, but I don't have the time. I work and I work and I work on that program, and you ain't heard nothing yet. And I said to Canter Eddie, well, how about coming with me to the football game? He said, Georgie, look at it. You know I love football? Oh, well, of course. After all, I'm an old college man, old Kappa Beta Phi Schlepper man, but I can't. I got to work on the program. From sunup to sundown on Sundays, I work with no sun to help me, you know? It's awful. And really, folks, I can appreciate how hard those fellas have worked on their programs. Miss McDopey, how long did we work on last week's show?
We started on June 8th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and from what I heard last week, it isn't finished yet.
Is that so? Now, look, Tucker, how is it you have such a mean disposition, Tommy Tucker, when your daughter Sophie is such a lovely girl, huh? Boys are playing Yankee Doodle Band from the picture Life of the Party. Well, I want to thank you and the boys.
And the boys want me to thank you for what you gave them last week after the first broadcast. Now they'll always have something for a rainy day.
Miss McDopey, I gave them something for a rainy day?
Yes.
What?
Rubber checks.
Oh, no. There must be a mistake someplace.
Yeah, in the bank. Here's a check.
Oh, yes. First National Bank. NSF. What is that?
Not sufficient funds.
How do you like that? A big bank like that hasn't got money to pay off these poor boys.
Well, George, we've got to get some money. The hotel is going to attach our instruments.
Hotel is going to attach your instruments? They can't do that to me. Miss McDopey, get those people on the phone right away.
I can't. The man took the phone out this morning.
What was the matter?
NSF.
I know.
Not sufficient funds.
I don't need any chorus. Look, any mail, Miss McDopey?
Yes, one letter from Sally Rand.
Sally Rand?
Yeah, just fan mail.
Mm-hmm. Look, Miss McDopey, it is not my intention to be continually reprimanding you.
What?
All right, I'll make it easy. I don't want to be all the time kicking you around, understand? But I must warn you about lines like the last one, the Sally Rand fan mail episode. You must not listen to the other programs and tell the same jokes on this one, see? It isn't ethical, you know what I mean, dear? Now, personally, I might not always be humorous, Miss McDopey, but at least whatever I say, I make up out of my own mind, myself.
Oh, yeah? What about that stuff you're going to say a little later in the program on page 9? You know about you promised to hire Abe Lyman's band. Did you make that up, or did a little Benny whisper it to you during the night?
Folks, you have no idea how hard it is to arrange a radio program, really.
Oh, hello, Mr. Jasper. I'd like to know when you all want me to sing my song.
Well, Miss Arnell, you talk just like Fetcher Schmeckett. I swear you do. Oh, Miss Arnell, I want you to meet Miss McDopey. Miss McDopey, this is Amy.
I'm mighty glad to meet up with you. You know, I've been in your temple many times, Amy.
Wait a minute. What temple? This is Amy Arnell.
Who?
Arnell.
Oh, now I know her. Arnell. She's the one they ain't done right by.
Look here, Miss McDopey, if I was paying you your salary, I'd fire you.
And if you didn't owe me so much, I'd quit.
Yeah.
Marty, though I'm not quite as smart as you, I could teach you a thing or two. Marty.
We bet that you were teacher's pet and the smartest one in class.
And the never fail to pass, that's the way you say it, Lord.
But all the things you learn in school never help you out at night.
When the moon is shining bright.
Oh, you can't learn that from books. Marty.
Though I'm not quite as smart as you, I can teach you a thing or two.
Marty, Marty, don't you know we should hold you tight?
I can tell when I've met the right party.
Though you may know every star up above, still you're in need of a lesson in love.
You know it all, Marty. Don't you wish that I had a heart?
You could learn to be quite smart. Marty.
Amy, I've been told you were a whiz in school. Got A in every subject as a general rule.
Oh, she may have knocked them for a mathematical loop, but we got A's too in alphabetical too.
I know what she needs, a lesson in love.
Well, that's what you think, Smarty. I don't want to be loved.
Oh, you don't mean that. Why, it can't be true.
Well, I may want to be loved, but not by you, you
Smarty. If you have only half a heart.
Yes, I know. I could be twice as smart.
Smarty.
Listen, kid. You all sing swell, but please realize, you know, you gotta cut this number short, don't you know? Cause we must advertise.
Georgie, you're a dope and you'll never know.
He's a dope, but he owns the show.
Remember just a few years ago what a cumbersome, inconvenient piece of equipment the average kitchen stove was? Not only were they ungainly to look at, but cooking was almost entirely by guess. What an evolution has taken place. The new Gaffers and Sattler gas ranges, utilizing the full benefits of natural gas, the modern fuel, are as different from the old kitchen stoves as the modern automobile is from the horse and buggy. Artistically beautiful pieces of furniture designed and styled to please the most fastidious housewife. The new Gaffers and Sattler gas ranges embody every modern innovation and improvement. So complete are they in perfection, a child can operate them, and even the poorest cook can produce dishes cooked just right. Built for economy, precision, efficiency, and convenience, the new Gaffers and Sattler gas ranges are made expressly for the fine homes of California. Go to your nearest dealer tomorrow and ask for a demonstration of both the new Gaffers and Sattler gas ranges and the Gaffers and Sattler electric refrigerators.
Particularly the ladies, and particularly the gentlemen, too, we bring you the glamour spot of our 30 minutes in Hollywood by the request of thousands of fans who say they still miss her great performances on the screen and are happy that she has at least come out of retirement for a moment or two on the radio. I'm happy to present the first lady of the screen and the first lady of my household, Miss Norma Talmadge.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you, George, for the truly nice introduction. I only hope you meant it.
Well, of course I meant it, dear. If I mean it for all these people, I certainly mean it for you. What'd I do again that you're so sure? Anyway,
Miss Talmadge, I want to say that it's lovely of you to come and visit my program again this week.
We argued about it long enough.
Folks, you have no idea how hard it is to arrange a radio program. Tell me, Miss Talmadge, are you in favor of long skirts?
No, I prefer the shorter skirts.
And why, may I ask?
Because the long skirts are inclined to pick up germs.
Is that so? Did you ever see any of the germs the short skirts have picked up? Oh.
That's right. They were wearing short skirts the year we met, weren't they, dear?
Next week, I'll say something like that. But by the way, Norma, you did have a lovely gown on at that party last Thursday night.
Did you like it, George?
Oh, yes. I'd have sent you some orchids if there was anything to pin them on. But seriously, it's time now, dear, to present the man who wants to interview you and incidentally drop a few lines about, or a few ideas about the fall styles and what the people are going to wear. This gentleman is at present designing new fall creations for Constance Bennett, Billy Burke, and many other stars. I give you now, ladies and gentlemen, Hal Roach's studio fashion designer, Mr. Ernest Schratz.
Thank you, George. Hello, Norma.
Hello, Ernest. Well, let's get down to business. What's in store for the women this fall?
Dark colors and black and all materials with bright accessories.
And if the budget is limited?
A very smart black dress for the daytime with plain accessories can be made brighter and dressier by using gold kid belts, gold beads, and gold trim bags.
Will the same thing run in the spring?
Yes, plain light dresses with contrasting colors and scarves, belts, and shoes. Also this fall into spring, leather and kid trim in suit and dresses will be very good.
Will fur be used this fall in greater abundance?
Yes, also furs that have not been used for some time will come back, such as skunk, which is very popular right now.
Not where we live. What do you suggest for evening wear?
Materials will be very lavish, and beaded and brocade gowns will be very popular. Gowns will reach the floor for fall and winter. Shorter evening dress is all right for summer.
How can the waistline be made to look lower?
The waistline can be made to look lower by using wider girdles and yokes.
I wish you'd design one of those fall outfits for me, Ernest.
I'd be only too glad to, Norma. Shall I send the bill to Mr. Jessel?
You'd better not.
Why not?
You know, the same old thing. NSF. Thank you, Ernest.
Ladies and gentlemen, last week we introduced on this program a child 7.5 years of age. This little child sang like a polished Metropolitan Opera House prima donna. This week her age now is 7.5 years and 1 week old. But according to the response and the reaction of you listeners, it is the biggest hit that any little girl of such tender age has ever made. We are happy to present her again, little Miss Josephine Starr. Tell me, honey, how long have you been singing, Josephine?
Oh, for years and years.
Mm-hmm. Ever since you were a child, huh? Well, tell me, what is your number going to be tonight?
The waltz song for Romeo and Juliet in French.
Go ahead, dear.
Vivre dans ton vivre
remarkable, ladies and gentlemen, from such a kid, such a voice caller, isn't it? She's so smart, that little child. And my brother-in-law is such a dope. How do you make it? Ladies and gentlemen, our guest star appearance is to me not only the high spot of our program, but the entrance on this stage of these two gentlemen marks one of the highest spots that the American amusement world has ever known. Time conquers all things, they say, but the long years, almost a half century, have not dimmed the affection that the American public feel in their hearts for Weber and Field.
Golly, Mike, you always look funny, but today you look funnier than ever.
Why, what's the matter?
What kind of a coat is that you've got on?
That's a very stylish coat.
Stylish?
Yeah, that's a three-button cutaway.
A three-button cutaway?
Yeah.
One more cut and there'd be an undershirt. Oh, Mike, look. What? There's a saloon over there.
Uh-huh.
And look, a sign says 5 cents a glass of beer.
Oh, that's cheap, ain't it?
Cheap, I should say. Have you got any money?
Not a cent.
Are you thirsty?
Not a bit.
I could love you for those boys.
Yeah, why?
I'll tell you why. You see, I've only got 5 cents.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just dying for a glass of beer.
Yeah.
Now, it wouldn't look nice for both of us to walk in the saloon and one of us drink and the other one don't.
Yeah.
So when we get inside, I'll say to you, what are you going to have?
Uh-huh.
And you, in sort of a careless way, say, oh, I don't care for anything.
I got to say that.
Then I'll say to the bartender, give me a glass of beer, and I'll drink the beer and we'll walk out and the bartender won't know whether we got money or not.
Yeah, yeah.
Will you do that?
Oh, sure.
Now, remember, all you've got to say is, oh, I don't care for it.
Well, let me understand myself.
Yeah.
When you say, what are you going to have? All I got to say is, oh, I don't care for anything.
Oh, Mike, you say that so cute. I wish I had another 5 cents so I could hear you say it twice.
Maya?
What?
Let us go in, by golly, before I forget it.
You're afraid, come on, then, let's go. Now, wait.
What?
Something in my heart tells me you're not going to do this right.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what we're going to do.
Huh?
Let us practice on the outside, then we're going to know what we're going to do on the inside.
That's a good idea. Now, here, we'll imagine that here is a door,
uh-huh.
And there is a bar,
yeah.
And there's a rail on the bar, and over in the corner is the free lunch.
Free lunch?
Yes, the free lunch.
Yeah.
But don't you go near that now.
Uh-huh.
Now, here we go.
Yeah.
Now, what are you going to have?
Oh, I don't care for anything.
Oh, go on, take something.
I don't care for anything.
Take something small.
Well, I take a small bottle.
What? A small bottle? With my 5 cents, you're going to take a small bottle?
Well, what do you want to coax me for?
I wasn't coaxing you. I was only making a bluff.
Oh, well, I don't take any bluffs.
Well, Mike, listen. But 5 cents is all the money that I got.
All right, then why don't you say, what are you going to have and don't have it?
I'll say anything I like. And all you say is, ooh, I don't care for it.
Yes.
Now we'll commence again.
All right.
What are you going to have?
Oh, I don't care for anything.
Oh, go on, take something.
Well, I take a cigar.
A cigar? With my 5 cents a cigar? Listen, you want to pull up my money?
Well, do I got to give up smoking, too?
If you don't give up smoking, I'll have to give up drinking.
Maya?
What?
You better come in, I'm getting thirsty.
Well, all right, yeah. Remember,
what?
You don't drink, you don't smoke, and you don't eat.
I must be a dead one.
Never mind what you are. Now, this time we're going in.
Yeah.
Now, remember, no matter how much I coax you, all you say is, ooh, I don't care for it.
Well, I'm glad to see you, boys. And what are you going to have?
How are you, Mr. Bartender?
How are you, boys?
Pretty good.
What do you have?
Wait till I ask my friend. Mike, what do you want?
Ooh, I take a glass of beer.
Wait, Mr. Bartender, wait. I want to find out and see if my friend knew what he was saying. If he doesn't know. Mike, you're a doogie. But we practiced outside, don't you remember this? Now, what are you going to have?
I take a glass of beer.
All right, and what are you going to have?
Ooh, I don't care for anything.
Yeah, boys, here's the one beer.
Well, he's looking at me.
I hope you choke. Mike, come outside. I want to commit two suicides. Yours and mine.
No, no. Can't you let me enjoy my glass of beer?
Come outside, Mike, before I drag you out. Come out here, you mustard, you. You freak, you. I treasure you. Now I got you outside. What did you say?
Well, when I saw the bartender, I forgot. I didn't know what I said, and I said, give me a glass of beer.
You gracious, you're so dumb. If you had a little more brains, you'd be a half-wit.
Half-wit what?
Half-wit brains and half-wit out. You know, you're just the same as a thief.
Yeah?
You stole my glass of beer, didn't you?
That's so.
You're just as good as a thief.
Don't you call me a thief.
Well, if you ain't a thief, then what is a thief?
Well, I'm going to tell you. If I walk up to you with a pistol, when I say, chuck up your hands, when I put my hand in your pocket and I take out a whole lot of money, what would I be?
You'd be a wonder.
I just don't know how to thank the both of you. I can only suggest something that I know that the whole audience will voice with me. Tommy, play it.
Housewives of California unanimously vote Gaffers and Sattler gas ranges and electric refrigerators the premier choice over all others. This popularity must be deserved. The reason can be explained in a very few words. Gaffers and Sattler ranges and refrigerators give you greater value than any other make. Designed and styled to meet every demand of both appearance and use, the fine Gaffers and Sattler gas ranges may be purchased from your nearest dealer at no more cost than the average range. Go to your dealer tomorrow. No matter where you live in California, you will find a Gaffers and Sattler dealer close by. Ask for a demonstration of these marvelous gas ranges, and we know that your next kitchen range will be a Gaffers and Sattler. And we know, too, that with it, you will find new joys and thrills never before experienced in cooking. Once you've cooked the Gaffers and Sattler way, you'll never return to the use of an ordinary range. For every woman can be an excellent cook with the new Gaffers and Sattler, the finest gas range ever built.
George. Well, how did you like the show?
Oh, you liked it? Well, I'm glad. Give your love to Lou and Joe. Well, of course, everybody says that. And pay your best to Tommy Tucker. You remember Tommy Tucker? He used to live on our block, huh? Well, you wouldn't remember him by that name, but that's him. Yeah, yeah. Well, you always had a memory for long names. Well, of course. What have you been doing with yourself? You went away for the week to Niagara Falls. That's fine. Did you go by Buffalo? You didn't. You went by train. Well, that's all right. Say, how is Anna? How is Anna feel?
She what?
For the first time in her life, she went horseback riding. Well, that's good exercise, Mama. Tell me, how does she ride? Side saddle or... Oh, she asked the man how she should ride. He said it makes no difference. It's just as broad as it's long. All right, dear. Well, look, Mom. Look, we've got to sign off now, but I want you to be sure and listen again next week at the same time. And look, before little Willie goes to bed, try to tell him one thing. Tell him to remember what Grandpa always said.
You don't know how hard it is to arrange a rodeo program. Good night, Mom. Good night, everybody.
George Gessel, Norma Talmadge, guest stylist Ernest Schraps of Hal Roach Pictures, Tommy Tucker and his orchestra, Dorothy McNulty, and those two beloved comedians of the stage, Weber and Fields, have come to you in 30 Minutes in Hollywood. Next week, George Gessel will present as guest the young MGM star Judy Garland and the famous motion picture comedian Burt Wheeler of Wheeler and Woolsey, brought to you direct from Hollywood over facilities of the Don Lee Network. 30 Minutes in Hollywood, starring George Gessel, has been a presentation of Gaffers and Sattler.
Program with the selections Smarty from Double or Nothing, I Still Love to Kiss You Goodnight from 52nd Street, Roses in December from Life of the Party, and You've Got Something There from Varsity Show. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
30 Minutes in Hollywood, also known as The George Gessel Show, from October 17, 1937 on Mutual, with an appearance by the comedic duo Weber and Fields. That wraps up this hour of Old Time Radio. I'm Jake Longwell. Thank you, as always, for joining me. Tune in again when you can for more classic sounds from radio's golden era. The Upstate Radio Theater is distributed by Quality Radio Productions.